are Black Lives Matter and Antifa on a collision course? That is what we're going to discuss in the first part of the show. Second part of the show, I'm going to continue talking about Black Lives Matter and some of the narratives that they're using. So buckle up, get ready for the ride. You can follow me on Facebook and Instagram at Taylor Radio, Twitter, TStutch1, YouTube, like and subscribe, Taylor Space Dutch. You can visit me at my website, TStutch.com. Thank you, enjoy. Will BLM and, which is so funny, always reminds me of bowel movement, will BLM and Antifa fight each other? This is the question. That is the question, I tell you. Now, I was, I follow Scott Adams on Twitter and Michael Malice, and both of them seem to believe that Black Lives Matter and Antifa are going to come to blows, that they're going to have a day of reckoning, a civil war within the, some kind of internal conflict. And I'm here to say that I have to disagree with this. I don't disagree that it can happen. I disagree that this is inevitable. According to Scott Adams, who is very influential and sometimes goes over his skis, he has an opinion. He thinks that it is for sure that it is inevitable that Black Lives Matter is going to clash with Antifa, and I don't see that as being the case. So first off, I want to point to what happened during the 2016 election. During the 2016 election, there was similar issues with the social justice warrior, the woke movement. Now, for those of you who aren't initiated or don't know, there's lots of internal contradictions within intersectionality, within the woke movement, the one that's talking about white supremacy and stuff like that, where over the years we've seen how they have what they call some kind of oppression hierarchy. Now, right now, we're not hearing about it as much because they're trying to unite all black and brown people. They're trying to ignore certain things, right? They're trying to ignore male, female, white, female, black, female, all that. What they have tried to do in the past was there was kind of like a ranking. Now, they didn't come out explicitly and say this, but the idea was a white woman is oppressed, but she's not as oppressed as a black woman. And a black woman is oppressed, but then she might not be as oppressed as a black woman from another part of the world who's a Muslim. Right. So the more minority status that you have, the higher up in the oppression hierarchy you are, the more oppressed you are, the more weight that your opinion is supposed to have, the more special you're supposed to be. This is the oppression hierarchy. Lots of people on the right call this the oppression Olympics. And you can see this not just play out in the way you look, but it's also the problems people try to have. So, for example, in the West, among people in my age group, this has become very popular. And, you know, with Gen Xers and millennials and probably going to be Zoomers, it's become very much very popular to talk about all of your problems. Like, for example, to be like, oh, well, I have anxiety and bipolar and depression, and to wear that as a badge of honor. Or like, you know, I am a schizophrenic trans person who is gender fluid. Like somebody, yeah, but the more weird things that you can attach to yourself, it's as though you are also moving up that hierarchy, right? So everybody's in a battle to talk about how dysfunctional they are, how crazy and strange they are, not necessarily how unique they are, but how weird they can be. Now, you might want to debate, well, who are you to decide who's weird? Well, it's another thing for another day. But back in 2016, lots of people also thought that we would see this clash. And I'll give you an example. There is currently a conflict between feminists and what they call trans-exclusionary radical feminists. So there's trans exclusionary feminists who are they're women who believe in, you know, nowadays feminism is not about, you know, people being equal. Nowadays feminism is about women being higher, being dominant over men. So there's that, but then there's also a lot of these feminists who are going for what they call women's empowerment, female empowerment. A lot of them do not want to count trans women as women. This makes sense because the trans women are men who say they're women. And so what a trans exclusionary feminist would say is, look, we've been fighting for the rights of women, like as biological women, people with a cervix, with eggs, with all the things that we view as a woman that we know are women. This is what we've been fighting for. And so you can't just say, like, you know, they've been fighting for equality in sports. So how can we now just let men say they're women and compete against us in sports? Right? That's a current conflict going on within the intersectional woke movement. There are trans people who say, well, you can't exclude us from female sports. Then there's feminists who say, well, yes, we can, because you're not actually a woman. And so, these are problems. Okay. There's also issues between, different minority groups, like, say, Muslims and Hispanics, who are predominantly Catholic, or Jews, who different Muslim groups generally dislike. So there's all these different conflicts and contradictions within the woke intersectional movement that many people expected to have more of a conflict to occur earlier. Now, I do believe that if these people actually ruled the country, we would see never-ending internal conflict like that. And that's actually part of what I've talked about previously, how everybody's guilty, how under the radical left-wing structure of authority, of law, how they view everything, is everybody's guilty of something. So under intersectionality, you could be guilty of, you know, transphobia, homophobia, xenophobia, you know, whatever it is, you know, misogynist, whatever. There are so many different things that you can be accused of that eventually you will be labeled with one and you'll be taken to the gulag. That's the idea. But that doesn't mean that they can't burn it down before it gets there. That's the critical part. Can the movement, can the intersectional movement, can the woke movement keep it together to burn through the revolution? Now, we've seen this before. We've seen this before. This is different. This is how things have gone in other countries. You know, I don't know a whole lot. I would love to know more about the Maoist revolution, the Maoist communist revolution, and learn how they managed that. But like I've told you, in the Russian situation, if you haven't read the Gulag Archipelago, you totally should, where you see how different groups in the different successive waves of the Marxist revolution there, different kinds of people were targeted for different crimes, for different thought crimes, for different association crimes. And that is what would happen with intersectionality, right? It starts off, oh, all white men. And then once you start rounding up all the white guys, then other people are like, hey, 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 wait a minute, but I want to keep my business. Oh, well, you want your business? Well, you're associating that with the white culture because you want to have a small business and that's related to capitalism. So we got to throw you in there too. And then somebody says, well, what about my family? And they go, well, family structure? That's from white colonial era and you are also associated with white culture, so now you got to go too. So that's what basically every single thing can go. So then if somebody goes, if anyone puts up any kind of defense against anything, then you're against some kind of movement or the other, right? So if you are from a Muslim background and you say, well, I want to keep within my family, my strong family unit, they'll go, well, you're a Muslim. But then they might turn around and say, even though you're Muslim, you want the family unit. You want some kind of family unit, or you have a small business. So if you have a small business, you're pro-capitalist. If you're pro-capitalist, then you're pro white supremacy, right? You see that, how this is their logic train. This is how they do this, right? Oh, you are pro-nuclear family. Well, the nuclear family was invented by white supremacists. If you agree with the nuclear family, you agree with white supremacists. If so facto, whatever, you're a white supremacist. This is the logic that they use. This is how they attack everybody. And so, but that's the conclusion, right? That's the problem. That's the conclusion. So maybe BLM, Black Lives Matter, attacks Antifa like when everything's burnt down. But right now they have a common enemy, and that is the capitalist system, the white capitalist system, right? And I also, and the, so okay, they have a common enemy, right? And that is important. And people might say, well, wait a minute, dude. A lot of people in Black Lives Matter and a lot of people in Antifa are white. And I say, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they're white or not. Now, what's really matters is the leadership of these groups and who's directing and funding some of them. But in terms of their makeup, it doesn't matter. We are already witnessing what people are doing. People are risking their lives. There are, you know, there is a misconception from people that have a more simplistic type of thinking, a more simplistic model type of thinking in some ways, who will say things like, well, it goes against white people's self-interest to support Black Lives Matter so they can never actually do it. And I say, no, 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 no. If that's what you think, then you're an idiot. Because Marxism is against everyone's self-interest. Even people that are low on the totem pole, even the poorest people in a country will not benefit from a Marxist revolution, but many of them will support it and actively partake until the system is burned down, until everybody's running out of food. Do you see how that works? The idea that people in a mob are going to act in rational self-interest is absurd. It's fucking absurd. And people talk about like class interest and this, that, and the other. It's ridiculous. People don't think in these, there's not this group of white people that sit around and say, ooh, we're going to support Black Lives Matter, but we can't support it too much because then it will affect our whiteness. No, dude, that's what they're trying to get rid of. If you asked a lot of white people that are supporting Black Lives Matter, now I don't mean peripheral support. There are some people who are on the margins who are like, yeah, I support the cause, but they're not really doing anything. The people that are on the ground that are doing a lot of stuff for Black Lives Matter that are white, if you told them, hey, you have to give up your property, or you're not allowed to own property, or you're not allowed to have a family because we can't perpetuate white people, I guarantee you there are people in those groups who would go along with that, who would say, sure, I'm not going to have a family. I won't have any property because I want to end the racist system, because those people are brainwashed. I mean, I'm telling you, you can see this throughout history. It's very simple. People can become brainwashed to actively destroy their own bloodlines. It has happened in the past, and it will happen again, and we're seeing it happen now. We are seeing it happen where people are being brainwashed into putting themselves in harm's way. They're walking onto highways and getting hit by cars in order to protest against white supremacy. Now, you might wonder, why am I harping on this? I'm harping on this simply because there was a tweet that's what Scott Adams and Michael Malice were talking about. They were talking about a tweet by a woman named, let's see here. I think I've got it. There, oh, I hope I had it. There was a Black Lives Matter, a Black Lives Matter person, lady, something. Let's see here. Scott Adams, Inevitable. Because that's where I saw it. Ah, here it is. Okay. All right, so there is a Black Lives Matter, her name is Feminista Jones, and she's clearly not the most intelligent. She says, begging white people to support BLM and related work has diluted the integrity of true revolutionary work. I still don't get why folks were so focused on getting mainstream support when it only means the inevitable destruction of the movement. I actually don't disagree with that. The more mainstream your revolution is, depending on how it's mainstreamed, probably the less of a revolution it actually is. She says, white people, no matter how liberal or progressive, will never endorse revolutionary acts that may jeopardize their children's lives. As such, they will never fully support a black liberation revolution by way of violent rebellion. Nope, nah, not gonna happen. See, it's so funny. I love it when people put up that language like it bolsters their point. Nope, nah, not gonna happen. Sure, whatever. This is where she's wrong. That's huge. That's a huge problem. White people will never endorse revolutionary acts that may jeopardize their children's lives. What is she talking about? What do you think we're seeing? Does she not understand that all of these white people, these white Antifa people that are going and throwing Molotov cocktails at police stations are jeopardizing their children's lives? Now, they don't have kids. What I mean by their children's lives is their ability to have children in the future. I mean, these people are risking getting killed. They're risking getting put in prison for life. These people are risking some kind of violent, you know, overthrow that could result in the death of themselves, their family, and their friends, because they believe in the movement so much. But this is a Marxist type of thinking, right? And it's a simplistic type of thinking, that there's these classes of people that all believe the same thing, and as a class or as a group, they will not jeopardize themselves. And this is just simply wrong. It's simply incorrect. When people get into some kind of mob mentality, when people are brainwashed into believing in a certain ideology heavily enough, they will not question it. They will go to the front of the line and kill themselves for the movement. It's like saying that about suicide bombers, about Islamic suicide bombers. Oh, why would anyone, you know, why would a group of people risk, you know, their lives or their children's lives to do that? Well, guess what? If you believe in something enough, you will kill and burn down everything. And this is what these idiots don't understand. And I mean, it's actually part of the reason why it's actually a good insight into how these idiots think. How these Black Lives Matter activists think. This is one reason why we're seeing so much violence, because they say, look, if you're white, you're bad. Because, see, they view all white people as a monolith. It's very racist, but it's also not just racist, it's stupid. And they're creating enemies. They're creating more enemies than they need. So what they're doing is they're saying, look, by nature of being white, these white people cannot risk their children's lives. It's like, what are you talking about? What on earth are you talking about? People have been fighting wars. People have been inciting revolutions. People have been fighting each other for millennia, risking themselves and their children's lives. And you're stupid enough to make a statement like that. Like, all of a sudden, people are going to get to the violence part and say, oh, well, I can't risk getting killed, or, you know, because then what will happen to my kids? So I want to go into a little more detail about what I said earlier about the narratives, the simple narratives that people, you know, we use them all the time, but especially with what we're seeing now. What we're seeing now with the kind of revolutionary type activities, what we're seeing with the you know, what seems to be explosions of civil unrest across the country. So one, I want to preface this with, I do believe, now this is actually a fact, that the Black Lives Matter and probably indirectly Antifa via Black Lives Matter is getting widespread institutional support. And what I mean by that is, for example, I know George Soros and his Open Society are providing funding for Black Lives Matter. Now, what does that mean? He is providing a grant of $200 million to Black Lives Matter organizations. That might not sound like a lot, but that is almost a quarter of $1 billion to organizations across the country that are dedicated to what they call racial justice. Now, we all know by now that this idea, this racial justice idea, it's not what we think it is. It's not what many people think it is. We are living in the times that many people have warned about, that people like Orwell warned about with the Newspeak. You know, there are Bible verses about this, that in the, you know, in certain, I guess, in the end times, you know, there evil will be perceived as good, good will be perceived as evil. And this is truly what we're seeing. This is truly what we're seeing. Now, I don't necessarily subscribe to this is the end of the world, right? I mean, like, we could see the fall of our civilization. We could see the fall of the United States or the fall of the current world order. Now, I don't think that that's an imminent thing, like it's just going to happen tomorrow and, you know, the United States is going to die and whatever. But, I mean, we could see, you know, a collapse in particular ways of government in certain parts of the world. It doesn't necessarily mean that the whole world is over and it's Armageddon for all. Now, the one problem, probably one of the biggest issues with the United States having problems and other major powers having problems is the nuclear weapons. That's really the biggest issue, is you can't have just something happen in one part of the world and hope and pray that it doesn't affect you if it has a major world power involved that has nuclear weapons. But what we're seeing is everything that you know intuitively, as good and evil, is being flipped on its head. We know this. We know this is what's happening, right? Every time a video of a shooting by a police officer comes out, every time somebody hears about it, people go and they protest and they riot. Now, before they even know what's going on. In fact, this weekend, just yesterday, there was a man shot in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And the body cam footage shows the black guy that was shot comes out of his house with a knife and is running full speed at the cop with a big old knife in his hand. The cop shoots and kills him, and as a result, there are now protests and riots going on in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. This weekend, there were two LA cops who were, they call it ambushed. They were sitting in their car. A guy walked up with a gun and shot both of them in the head. And I think they're surviving. I think they're stable. I think they're going to make it. But a group of Black Lives Matter protesters went to the hospital. They blocked the entranceway, and they, and in addition to blocking the entrance and exit ways to the hospital, they were shouting at the hospital that they hope the officers die, and they were trying to get into the hospital, and they were probably going to try to stop the officers from getting medical treatment. We know that there have been multiple reports of Antifa types running around Oregon, Washington, and California. There are multiple sightings of people starting wildfires that are burning through towns and rural areas around California, Washington, and Oregon. And we know that all of these activities are evil. We know they're bad. We know they're evil. However, we live in upside-down times. We live in an upside-down world. We live in a time where what is good is being said is what's bad, right? So the Constitution, the Constitution and the principles that underlie the Constitution are inherently good. They are. Now, what's happening is that they are being manipulated, and people are being manipulated, and their minds are being perverted into believing that the Constitution is a white supremacist document. Now, this is done by very flawed and unsophisticated logic, but the logic is being portrayed as sophisticated, being portrayed as advanced, but it's very basic. It's very basic. What people are doing is they are using a very basic chain of association in order to imply the reason for these things to be in existence. You know, they will say, oh, well, this person, owned a slave, or this person fought on behalf of this person who had slaves. There's an association here. Therefore, we must, you know, every principle that this person espoused must be gutted, right? If you are a person in the real world and you know yourself and you know your family or you know people, if you truly understand some aspects about yourself, you'll understand right off the bat that those ideas are insane. Because we all have values, we all have ideas, we all have times in our lives where we have contradictory ideas, we have contradictory feelings. There, you know, maybe you believe that theft is wrong, but a couple times you stole from that candy shop, right? But also, you also give money to your local charity, but, you know, sometimes you do a little something that's not a good idea, or that's illegal, or that's maybe unethical or immoral. We all have those times. We all have those moments. And if you truly understand that about yourself and your fellow man, then you would know that the history that we live with is much more nuanced. It's much more complicated. It's not so simple as the narratives that we are being fed by the mainstream media. It's not so simple. But the people in Black Lives Matter, the people in Antifa, are brainwashed and are currently in the act of brainwashing innocent people into believing that all the systems, that even if they are good systems or they perpetuate good in the world, if there is one drop of something that is not good, they are all evil, they must all be destroyed. Which is funny, because using their own standards, what's interesting is using Antifa or Black Lives Matter's own standards would mean that they would have to be destroyed themselves. They would have to be. Now, and here's how you can look at it. People like to say, well, the system is evil, right? The system is oppressive. The system is evil. And someone might say, well, no, it's not. It's not. There have been times in history where it's been bad. There have been times in history where certain people in the systems did evil things. But overall, the system is not bad. And we would point to the fact that the system has been improving. If the system was straight evil and bad from the beginning, there's no way we could have got from slavery to where we are now. Now, some people might say, well, what do you mean? We're in a racist society now. Well, no, not nearly as much. We don't have systemic racism now, right? We don't. There are laws against that. There are laws against many things. And in fact, there's affirmative action, which is actually almost like systemic racism in the other direction. Now, if we apply the rules that Black Lives Matter wants to use, what they try to say is, hey, if this person owned a slave, they are evil, take it down. If this person fought on behalf of somebody who was a slave owner, take them down. Constitution was around the time of slavery, take them down. Christopher Columbus, you know, was responsible for killing certain natives, take him down. Okay, got it. Okay, so there were innocent. Basically, the bottom line is they're trying to say, look, there were innocent people that were killed. There were innocent people that were destroyed and enslaved in the struggle for the creation of what we call today modern Western civilization. So what is Black Lives Matter doing now? What they're trying to say is that because of all of those sins, quote unquote, all of those sins, that they everything must be overthrown, the system must be destroyed, and no one is innocent. Now, by that same logic, Black Lives Matter would also have to destroy themselves, because they are killing innocent people, and they are also creating a system of hurting innocents, trying to enslave innocents to establish their own new culture, their own new, I don't want to say civilization, because the people that are running these movements, they're not capable of creating civilization, only devolving, destroying civilization. But they are engaging in the barbarous acts that they would accuse white, quote unquote, white conquerors. They are using those same things that they would be against. They are hurting innocent people of other races, colors, gender, whatever, ethnicities. They are making the United States and parts of this country unsafe for regular people trying to go about their lives. But see, for them, they find a justification. Their justification is that the system is racist, and we think it's so. So now that justifies us destroying and killing innocent people and hurting innocent people in order to create the world we want. Well, guess what, Black Lives Matter? In 50 years, in 100 years, if we look back and we apply the same rules to history that you are applying, and we could say, oh, well, hey, look, say Black Lives Matter was successful. Let's just pretend that they're 100% successful, and we, all white people are taken out of all positions of power, all the institutions are overdone, the country is totally run by, ethnic minorities, and in the process of it, white people are not allowed to be police officers, they are, brutalized in order to make an example of, all this stuff, right? Even if they're not totally. If we do that, then they are guilty of the same sins that they are accusing others of. They are guilty of the same sins. Conquering a people, subjecting them to death, hurting them, all of this, in the name of some overarching ideal, racial justice, which, once again, racial justice doesn't mean justice. Right? It doesn't mean justice. Justice doesn't mean that you treat people unfairly. Justice is treating people fairly. And in the United States and in most of the Western world, we try to do things fair according to the rule of law. And the rule of law is supposed to be applied equally to all people. So that way, it doesn't matter if you're black, white, rich, or poor, you're supposed to be getting similar treatment. Or the same treatment under the law. And we try to do that as best we can. But I want to give you an example. There was a video that was going around of a black lady on an airplane. And the stewardess is trying to get by her. And she's refusing to move out of the way. And she's getting in the stewardess' face and saying, hey, this is not your country anymore. This is our country. And she's talking shit to the white stewardess. And she's refusing to sit down. She's refusing to listen. And it's like, look, everybody else is sitting down watching this thing. And it's like, is this the country that we want? Is this the country that we want? Where we tell people, hey, if you're this skin color, you can do whatever you want, and you can just do whatever you want, even if it means that we destroy our ability to act within our own society, right? Oh, we can't fly planes anymore because, after a certain point, people started disrupting plane travel so much. I'm exaggerating. Oh, but it's like, hey, well, basically, people started disrupting planes so much, we couldn't take off anymore because the safety concerns were too high. And so, here we go. Now we don't fly anymore. So now I know that's kind of just a random type of example, but we are living in the upside down world. We are living in opposite land. Things are not as they should. But I would like to know who's controlling all this. I don't necessarily think this is all controlled. I do believe that this is being pushed and funded. I do believe that there are people that are want this to happen. You know, like George Soros. I wish we could take him out somehow. I wish he could be arrested. I wish we could somehow seize his assets. Then in the open society, he needs to be taken out. But one thing I want to talk on real quickly while we're talking about narratives and all these things is the narrative that all white people or all black people have these kind of ideas, certain ideas. In the last segment I talked about, there was a lady, a black feminist BLM person, who was talking about how white people cannot actually be allies to Black Lives Matter because they will never betray their own self-interest or their own class interest or their own white interest. And this is a flaw in thinking. This is seriously illogical, flawed thinking. They are applying certain types of behavior to whole groups of people that cannot be done. People have various levels of interest. People have different kinds of interest. Individual survival, familiar survival, group survival. Some people are willing to lay down their lives for a community of people. And in our society today, with lots of millennials and people like that not having kids or putting off children for a very long time, there's a lot of people who don't have kids to worry about or don't want to have kids to worry about and would rather lay down their life for a community or a cause that they view as greater than them so it can live on. And yet you have these stupid, it's so interesting, these stupid people that think they are so intelligent. You know, like this black feminist who she believes that she's so smart. She lays down a whole Twitter thread, which hardly made any sense. Hardly made any sense, talking about how basically we're going to need to use violence. White people cannot be included in the Black Lives Matter group. Violence will be necessary in order to achieve their goals of black liberation. All this stuff. This applies to everyone in the nation, especially anyone who's going out, especially with Black Lives Matter right now. It's filled with midwits. Midwits. And what I mean by that are people who have a little bit of intelligence, just enough. Like they have basic, like if you gave them a job, they'd be fine, right? They're in their own lives, they can do their own thing. But these are people that have no fucking business trying to direct the course of history. They have no business trying to tell others about grand schemes of life and where we need to take, you know, history and the community and whatever. These people have no business doing that because they're fundamentally not that intelligent in that way. They're not. The people that are trying to lead a lot of these things are just dumb. They're not that smart. They will throw things at you that they have memorized from books, but they don't actually logically stand up. They don't logically make sense. They're not consistent with their own worldview or how they live their lives, but they claim they believe them. Like I said about this woman who talks about how white people cannot ever be true allies because they will never sacrifice themselves. They will never sacrifice their children or their children's livelihoods for the cause of black liberation. And she talks about how even with the Black Lives Matter movement, it's all about white people. And I won't disagree with that there. I think there's a lot of white people that are taking advantage of Black Lives Matter to make themselves famous, to give themselves a name. But right there, It's like, look, there are people, there are plenty of white people who will go to the front of a riot line and risk getting thrown in jail, having their entire lives destroyed, that they will risk throwing fires and bombs and getting arrested and having a felony record. I mean, these people that are white are risking their lives as much as some of the black people at Black Lives Matter. And once it would be like what she is saying is it's just ill-informed. It's ignorant, right? It's ignorant. There are people, you know, you brainwash enough people and they will do crazy shit. It's like what we saw in the Russian Revolution, what we saw in the Communist Revolution in Mao's China. Do you think it was in anybody's actual interest to create a communist revolution in China? No. But guess what? In order for people to gauge their interest, they have to really be able to think outside themselves, think long term, think in complex ways, how things could happen if this happens and this could happen, this could happen. Most people are not willing to do that work, including Black Lives Matter activists. If they really thought about what they're saying and what they're doing, they wouldn't be doing or saying what they are. They wouldn't be doing it. If they really cared about racial justice, they wouldn't be trying to make other races subordinate to them. They would be trying to raise up the black community, not tear down others. They wouldn't go rioting and burning. They wouldn't support black criminals. They would support black entrepreneurs. They would support black police officers, black firefighters and ambulance workers, doctors. You wouldn't see what, right now, they are rioting in the street because criminals are getting shot. They're rioting in the street because a guy in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, ran after a cop full speed with a knife trying to kill him. They're rioting the street for that. What they should be doing is pushing for more black-owned businesses. How about that? No, but they're not going to do that because they don't give a shit. They just want... A lot of these people are just tools. Tools for some kind of Marxist revolution that we are seeing attempted. And, you know, a lot of people... there are several people out there that think that there are big businesses behind this. And people might say, well, you know, why would a business stand behind some kind of Marxist revolution? Why would they do this? And there was a great video I saw on Twitter the other day. I don't know the guy's name. We'll have to look it up. And he described, somebody asked him why businesses so often, why megacorps get behind communist causes. And he simply referred to, he said, because they believe they'll be in control. Lots of times, businesses, business leaders, business owners, they push socialist and communist ideas because they think that when the dust settles, they'll be the ones running the show. It's like an Amazon or a bank, or, you know, the bankers think that they'll be controlling the currency. The Amazons and Walmarts think they'll be controlling the distribution and manufacture of goods. So, okay, why would they want to worry about competing with new businesses when they can allow a Marxist revolution to take over the country, and then they'll just pull the strings of production and distribution, and they'll just control everything, and they'll be like actual monarchs and kings? So we got to watch out for these guys. We have to push back against the megacorps that are trying to take over. We got to push back against Black Lives Matter, who is brainwashing the youth of this country. We have to push back against all of it. And that's it. That's all I got for today. You can follow me at tstutch.com, Facebook and Instagram at Taylor Radio, YouTube, Taylor Space Stutch. And you can buy my Joe Biden merch at Teespring/TStutch. Thank you very much for listening.